Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dana Gillen. I give honor to God, my friend Pastor Renee, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to talk to you today about the help of the Holy Spirit. I will draw my text from the 18th chapter of Acts. But before we get there, I want to reflect on the last portion of Acts 17. In the latter part of Acts 17, Paul is in Athens, and he shares with the men of Athens an inscription he found on an altar there to the unknown God. Paul then proclaims him, this unknown God, to the men at Athens in Acts 17, the 24th through the 28th verse. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. This exchange in Athens is just a part of the experiences Paul had while he was traveling, preaching, teaching, serving, and suffering. It is a message that shows that we inherently know our Creator and that he knows us. We now find Paul in Acts 18. We'll look at the 1st through the 4th, the 9th through the 10th, and then the 24th through the 28th verses in the King James Version. The first verse, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was the same craft, he abode with him and wrought or worked with him, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. These first four verses inform us of how Paul came to Corinth from Athens and connected with Aquila and Priscilla because they were all tent makers. Though Paul was a preacher and a teacher, he determined to work to support himself. He also connected with those who had similar talents and similar interests in ministry. We also find that Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading Jews and Greeks concerning Jesus. He was persuasive. He was engaging. And if you go further through verse 11, you will see how Paul experienced an urgency in his spirit, but many Jews rejected the message of Jesus the Christ. The Lord then shifted the focus of Paul's ministry away from the Jews to the Gentiles. I want to take note of the comfort the Lord brings to Paul in verses 9 through 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Verse 10 reminds me that many weapons, though they be formed against us, they won't harm us. No one will attack you to hurt you. These weapons formed, they shall not prosper. Oftentimes when we seek to do the will of the Lord, we are challenged by the very people we are called to help. But not only is God with us, he sends help to us. The Holy Spirit inhabits his people and he compels us to love one another, to support one another, to aid one another. when you feel that unction from the Lord to speak to a stranger, to say a kind word, to be an ally to another, know that the Spirit of the Lord is at work. Be quick to obey Him. Someone needs what you have. Further on in the scriptures, Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla travel to Ephesus. Paul then leaves Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus to strengthen other disciples. Now let's look at Acts 18:24, because Aquila and Priscilla have some strengthening to do also. While Aquila and Priscilla are at Ephesus, Apollos shows up. Verse 24 says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. We find from the scripture that Apollos is a Jew, that he is eloquent, and he is mighty in the scriptures. So Apollos has a Jewish pedigree. He's well-spoken. He's been trained to speak in front of an audience of people and to be well-received. He's also a student of the old teachings. In verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Apollos knew the old teachings, the Old Testament. He had an understanding of the way of Christ. However, he had no knowledge beyond the Old Testament, the old teachings, and what he had heard concerning the baptism of John. He had not been taught concerning the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, Apollos took the little that he knew and he went into the synagogue to teach. Verse 26 says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos didn't just teach, he was bold about it. Have you ever felt like God was calling you to share something, but you felt like you didn't know enough, so you held back? That was not Apollos' way. Apollos did not hold back despite what he did not know. God will use what you have if you're willing to share it. When Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos and understood what information he lacked, they took him with them and taught him. They did not shame him for the limitation of his knowledge. They added to it that he might be more successful in sharing Christ. God will send help when you're willing to use what you have. He will add to it. Verse 27 says, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Apollos became more effective, for in verse 28, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Apollos had a zeal. He already had a zeal that God was able to use to touch the lives of many. But Apollos became more effective because of what he was taught by Aquila and Priscilla. The Holy Spirit operated through Aquila and Priscilla to help Apollos. And Apollos was receptive to being helped. Sometimes we miss the work of the Holy Spirit because we're looking for something loud, something big, something like fireworks. But in the latter part of Acts 17, which I mentioned earlier on, the Bible reminds us that we are His creation. He knows us. We know Him. He knows what we have. He knows what we lack. He knows what we need. And we should but seek Him. Look for Him. In Acts 18, Paul connects with fellow tent makers and ministers of the gospel. This is not a coincidence. This is not a chance. Oh, that the Lord would connect us with those who are like-minded, apt to serve and to teach, that we might draw others to him and be helped also. In verses 9 through 10 of Acts 18, God reminds Paul that there are many who serve the Lord, and Paul is therefore not to fear those who are against him. What a comfort. The Holy Spirit is our comfort, and he will cause others to respond to us on his behalf. In verse 24, when Apollos is teaching what he knows of the Lord, but lacking information, the Lord sends help in the persons of Aquila and Priscilla. They privately teach Apollos that he might expound the way of God more perfectly. Oh, that the Lord would send us help, that we might teach more perfectly the way of the Lord. Oh, that the Lord would send us to be a help when there is a need as well. Lord, help us to use the gifts you have given to us in your service to build your kingdom until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.